Thank you for listening to this podcast. This is the finale. This is part 3 of 3 in our podcast series on answering the question, what does it mean to know God? So please enjoy. Yeah, so I think to encourage you that it is a growing process, right? We often want the quick fix, but discipleship is, I can't remember, Eugene Peterson, didn't he say it's long obedience in the same direction? Like, that's what discipleship is. It's a long obedience going the same direction. So we often want, and I think that's why this, the experience-based, just do this quick thing, and then, oh man, you know God, and come to our event, or, you know, do, you know, have this ecstatic experience, and gold dust is flying through the air, and blah, 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 all these things. I think that's really appealing, because it's a quick high, and I experienced God, and I know Him. And I don't really see, I mean, everywhere in Scripture, it's like, it's this long obedience, and that's how you, it's a journey to know God, which is why it's really interesting when I talk to Christian guys who have walked with Jesus for, you know, 50, 60 years, you're like, man, I can think of a few names, and I'm like, I know that you know God. I can just see from the way you live your life, but they would tell you, yeah, it's been quite a long journey to get to that place, and it's still a journey. So I would encourage you, if you're listening and you're going, man, I just really wish there was a silver bullet quick fix. There isn't. But that's why discipleship is your whole life. As you, we kind of touched on a few things. As you spend time in God's Word and learn about God, but then meditate on that and turn that into praise and worship of God, as you begin to learn about who this God is, then as you learn to, you know, obey the Holy Spirit when He maybe puts things in your mind or on your heart to do, and you say yes. And then when you read about Jesus' commandments and you say, yes, I'm going to obey, that just takes time, right?
Yeah, and I think something to remember, and I had to remind myself and learn this, was that on the journey, it's never like once I get to that looking more like Jesus, then God will accept me, or that's where He wants me to go, which is what He wants. But every step of the journey is God can't love you any more than He does. Like, He's there all on the whole journey.
Yeah.
So,
because what is that passage where it talks about, like, you know, for now we see
dimly,
but then, like, the end goal is when we will fully know Jesus is when He returns.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 13, after the love chapter.
See, you're a way better pastor than I am.
Because I remembered a verse.
Right, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. That's the one I was thinking of. That no one on this side of heaven, on this side of the return of Jesus, can be like, I fully know God, I've reached it, it's done, it's over. Like, because Paul is saying, like, that's going to happen when Jesus returns. Like, you will be fully known, and you will know completely. You will see God face to face. And until then, we're just, you know, grace-driven effort in our desire to know and obey Jesus. So be encouraged, right, if you're listening, because I know that oftentimes it's very tempting to be like, well, I can never be like Don or Andrew or whatever, whoever it is, right? They just seem like they're way far. To be encouraged that if you're willing to, like, right, put the demanding work in to say, I want to know God. And again, once you begin to do it, it's not demanding. It's a joy, but it is putting in the effort of, then you will grow in your knowledge of God. But it's a slow journey. So I didn't know if you have any last final things.
We just got started.
Oh, what else are we talking about?
Well, I think part of knowing God is the second commandment of Jesus, where He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Because we want to know, I wonder how I'm doing or how I'm growing. And one of the key things is that second commandment, you must love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Hosea chapter 4, like he said, there's no steadfast love, there's no faithfulness. And steadfast love is this love that goes beyond requirements toward each other.
Right.
And that was something very important to God. That was part of the knowledge of God. If we love God, we're going to love each other like he loved us. And that's what Jesus called us to. So I think part of the practical working this out, I think, was exploring that part of it too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in 1 John 4:19-21 and 1 John 2, he says there, if you say you know God, but if you hate a brother or sister, you're lying. You don't know God.
Yeah.
So you can do a heart check there. Like, do I have people I actually don't like or hate? John says, you don't know God then. You haven't experienced the love of Jesus and it's the same thing with Jesus says. If you can't forgive somebody, then you don't know God, because you don't understand the debt you've been forgiven and just this pocket change that you're not willing to forgive.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's one area. And I don't know, I've always been looking at Romans 13. Paul says that if you love, the love that God calls us to, he says you're actually going to fulfill the law.
Right.
And Galatians says that too, and Jesus says the same thing. That if we actually love the way Jesus wants us to, that when we know him and understand his love, then we're going to be able to see how that's affecting our lives. So Paul says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Hmm. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So Paul says there, if you're getting to know God and you're getting to know how he operates, who he is, when you look at your fellow man, because this is how God acts towards you, his steadfast love, his mercy towards you. When it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, Jesus did that. He loved his God with all his Father, with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he loved his neighbor as himself, like he went to the cross. So now he says, if you know me, you're going to live this way. So you're never going to say, well, I don't love my spouse anymore, I love this other person. He said, no, love would never do that.
Right.
Love would never commit adultery against your spouse or someone else.
Yeah, right.
Or steal from them, or covet what they have. So this is one way we know that we're growing in knowledge of God, is how we see and interact with the people around us. And really, God says that kind of is your test. You're living here on earth among people, and if you can't love them, you don't love God. You don't even know God. So it's fascinating to me that our relationships with each other are very telling how well we know God.
Yeah, it's almost a diagnosis of your own heart, because we've seen that all throughout the prophets too. Like, even this week, the people of Israel go, I think it's verse 2 of chapter 8, they go, we know you, God. And God goes, okay, well, here, let's lay out all the reasons why you don't know me. So someone could claim to follow Jesus and say, I know God, I love God. And yet, if you are gossiping and slandering people and you hate people, the scripture would seem to say, well, you're deceived. Like,
you're deceived, or your knowledge is very limited.
Yeah.
And you need to grow because you haven't understood the love that's been shown to you.
Yeah.
And the amazing things God has done and who he is, who his very character is.
Yeah.
You're in stark contrast to that. And yet you're saying, I'm...
And not to say that immediately... all those things, like, I love everybody, and I never, but yeah, like you said, it's a growing process, but I think that's important to remember, like, yes, this vertical relationship, yes, you know God, but I like what you said, like, how we treat our neighbor and love our neighbors as ourselves is an indication of, do we actually know God?
And that's where Jesus quoted Hosea a couple of times. He says, you know, if you would understand, I want mercy and sacrifice, that was how they related to the other. The Pharisees were proud of what they did, and they could care less for the sinners. Actually, they hope, I hope you guys burn in hell because mm-hmm. you're not like us. And Jesus said, if you would understand
yeah.
that I want you to love these people and bring them to me, that's what he wanted, and they weren't doing that. Yeah. I don't know, an interesting example for me is Abraham, when he, on his journey of knowing God, it was a process, and that's so encouraging yeah. to me, because during his journey, there was a couple of times he lied about his wife so he could protect his own his own self.
Yep.
And he was on a journey of knowing God, and yet he grew to the place where he trusted God so much that when God says, I want you to sacrifice your only son, and God even says, your only son, Isaac, like to rub it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, just
almost.
So you're aware.
And Abraham, it said, the next morning he got up and went. And Hebrews tells us that he knew, even if he went through with it, God was going to raise him from the dead, because he promised Isaac would be the son that these promises would come through. So in this journey, which took years and years, Abraham at times lied and stumbled his way through. Yep. But he grew to a place where he actually trusted God so much, I'll sacrifice my son because you commanded it, and I trust you. I know you're going to do something good out of this. So,
And there's lots of examples, right? You had said, you know, Job even. If you read Job, that yeah, he goes through the ringer and he starts complaining and, you know, why is this happening? I'm a good man. And his friends aren't helping, being like, yeah, anyways. And then God shows
friends.
Up. Yeah, friends. God shows up and God meets with Job and, you know, God reveals who he is. And then, yeah, Job, doesn't he say, like, I'm going to stop talking now? Job's
yeah,
kind of
oh,
like,
yeah, he said,
like okay, yep. And after that, it was, he met with God and he knew, and it's not to say he didn't know who God was, because even in the beginning, his wife is like, curse God and die. Like, and he goes, no, should we not accept evil from God as well as good? So he was aware, but he grew in that, right? Yeah. And near the end, you're going, okay, God meets with him, and he goes, yeah. You know, this is me paraphrasing, but Job's going, yeah, I can trust God. I don't need to complain about what my situation is. So it's encouraging that even some of these, you know, quote, heroes, that they still grew in their knowledge
yeah.
of God and their relationship with God.
I think for me, like, one of the most freeing things, and I have to keep preaching to this myself, is the two commandments Jesus gives: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, soul, and strength. And so God has given all our love, all his love towards us, and he doesn't want a half-hearted love back. He wants a wholehearted love. And I go, I'm not there yet. And he wants us to love our neighbor as yourself, or as Jesus loved them, and I'm not there yet. So to me, again, the encouragement is that Jesus fulfilled these two laws completely, perfectly. So now, as a follower of Jesus, I know I'm not there yet, but I'm on a journey that Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary. And then he says, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle, humble. I will teach you.
Yeah.
So Jesus is going to teach us how to love God the Father and how to love our neighbor as ourself and take us on this journey. So for me, that's really encouraging that I can actually honestly say I haven't arrived yet. And at times it can be frustrating, but Jesus fulfilled those laws for us. But now he is going to take us on this journey of helping us put sin to death, our selfish nature, and help us to love, because the Israelites were unable to come to God. And that's where we're at. Romans 3 says, you're unable to do this. You're unable to come to God. So like you said, God had to initiate even the first contact with us. But now he's also going to continue doing that.
Yeah, yep.
So for me, like Colossians 2, verse 3, Paul says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, this knowledge of God. So the more we pursue Jesus through his word, like Andrew said, the more we're going to be in touch with this knowledge and wisdom from God and learn how to live this out. And so it's pursuing this person is what knowing God is. It's not pursuing a program where if I just do the Ten Commandments, it's pursuing a person.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the heart of God, that he wants us to know him and be in relationship with him, not just to do things, because that's what the Pharisees did.
Yeah, because even Paul earlier in Colossians 1 says the same thing. Like, Paul viewed his job was to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations. And he says, what is the mystery? Well, it's Christ in you. Him we proclaim.
Yeah.
So we proclaim a person, warning everyone, teaching everyone. And the goal is that, Paul says, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So he's saying that, like you said, it's about Jesus. Him we proclaim. He is all the fullness of wisdom and knowledge is found in Christ. So as you get to know Christ through his word, Paul says, well, you're going to mature. That's the goal, like that you would mature in him. Now, if I say like, oh, are we ready to wrap it up? Are you going to be like, no, I got eight more points?
I think
well, I do. I know our hope is that that this is actually helpful to you, that it's encouraging, but that it answers, because I know when I've talked to people, and even myself at sometimes, you know, it can seem so daunting or pie in the sky, like, oh, knowing God. So I want to encourage you that, like Don read in Deuteronomy, like it's not this big high up here, God says, it's like right here, like just choose, you know, right? My hope is that you would begin to say, okay, I want to know God. So spending time in his word, knowing about him and who he is and what he's done, learning to obey him through our love of him, but also obey through our love of others. And then to be encouraged that this is a lifelong pursuit.
And it definitely helps when you do it with somebody, whether it's your spouse or whether you see, like Andrew said, he knows older people that they know God.
Yeah.
And to grab one of those people and say, hey, can you maybe meet with me once in a while and just help me walk through some of these things?
Yeah.
Because that's part of the journey too, is learning from each other.
Yep. Yeah. So hopefully that's been good. And again, if you have even more questions that come up out of this maybe, and you want some clarification, you can always contact us and we'll keep recording more podcasts.
Going,
All right, so God bless. Well, I want to thank you for listening these past few weeks to our three-part series on what it means to know God. If you do have more questions that come out of this, please email or call the church, and we would love to answer any questions you have. God bless.